Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We do have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you, anything that's going on in your life that you would like to discuss, any questions that you might have about the Word of God. Let's talk about it today on Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. Again, the number 844-322-2742. Well, this month we're establishing premises. We're building a foundation as far as this Christian life is concerned. We've talked a little bit about the cross. We've talked about Jesus Christ, His identity. We've got so much more to cover for the rest of this month. But today I want to look at a small little verse in 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. Very short, only 7 words. We love because He first loved us. So this is such an important passage for us to really get hold of. And the reason is because it sets the pattern for our relationship with God. So we love because He first loved us. So God is the initiator. We are the responder. God initiates His love toward us. He demonstrated that love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on our behalf. So God is pursuing us, and we respond to that love. And when we respond to that love in faith, that's us loving God back. So if we will get this straight in our Christian lives, everything will start to fall into place. God initiates, we respond. Oftentimes, we want to put Him in the role of responder. We want Him to react to us. So we may gather a large number of people and we're concerned about a particular issue, and we say, hey, if we can just get enough people to pray about this, then maybe we can obligate God to act on our behalf. So what is that? Well, we're initiating in hopes that God is going to respond and do what we've asked Him to do. Well, that's not how it works as far as the Christian life is concerned. God is always in the role of initiator. We are always in the role of responder. He created, we're the creation. So we're naturally going to live in dependence upon our Creator. That's how He's planned it from the very beginning. So in this passage, we love because He first loved us. So in our Christian lives, that love is always there for us. And as we respond to that love, then that's going to shape the way we think. That's going to shape our attitudes. That's going to shape the way we respond and interact with other people. So as we live our lives in dependence upon Jesus Christ, we're going to see the wonders of His life being lived out through us. It's exactly what Paul said in the great passage on salvation, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We are saved by grace through faith. So what is grace? Grace is God's initiative toward us, His unmerited favor toward us that He freely gives. And then we respond to that through faith, and that's when salvation occurs. God initiates, we respond. So let's get that in place. Let's really establish that in our lives, and I think this Christian life is going to start to make sense in your everyday experience. I know for me, when I first got started in the Christian life, man, I was thinking that God had saved me, and then He said, all right, now you just go out and do your best. And if you ever need help along the way, you just ask me. And so I tried to live the Christian life through human effort. I tried to be the best version of me I could be. And it just didn't work out so well. And then I learned this particular truth, that God is the initiator, we're the responder, he's the vine, we're the branch, we live in dependence upon him, and things fall into place. So let's get that right. God initiates, we respond, and we're going to enjoy this Christian life to the full. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. So glad that you are tuned in today. If you have a question, we would love to hear from you right now. Again, the number 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands this month. It's our book entitled The Basic Gospel. And I've written a chapter in this book about the importance of the essentials. So when we say the word basic, or when we use that for our name, Basic Gospel, we're not talking about elementary things. We're not talking about first grade stuff. We're talking about essential stuff, the essentials that we need as believers in Christ Jesus. And so often we're not sure about these essentials. We doubt when it comes to these essential truths. And we want to establish you in this foundation of faith. We want to establish you in these essentials, and that's why we've put this book together. So I've written a chapter to introduce it, and then we look at all the important elements of the gospel message. We look at Jesus. We look at the grace of God. We look at forgiveness of sins as given to us through the cross of Christ. We look at the resurrection and how that reality can impact our day-to-day walk with Jesus. We look at our identity. We look at all these essentials of the Christian faith, just passage after passage after passage. It's a life-changing book, a life-changing resource. We want to put that in your hands. It's available to you this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. So take advantage of this. It's great for individual study. It's great for memorizing scripture. It is great for a small group Bible study as well. It's called The Basic Gospel. Request your copy today when you go to basicgospel.net and click the donate button. So basicgospel.net, click the donate button and request your copy. Or you can call right now, 844-322-2742. Talk to Michelle. Request your copy. We'll get one to you as quickly as possible. Well, we're going to go to our phone lines right now. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. We're going to start today with our good friend, Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Bob and Bob. How are you?
Doing fantastic. What's on your mind today?
I'll tell you what, I've been listening to you in one stature or another since 1987. And in 1987, I didn't know nothing. And so gradually I've been getting this message, and I may be way out of the box here, Bob, but truthfully, when I came into Christ and as I grow in him, this is my reality. As much as people say, well, you can't feel it, you can't see it, you can't touch it. Well, you know what? I do every single day. And as I grow in grace, I'm learning more and more and more what my true existence is. And for example, I hear people always worried about judgment, the white throne judgment, whatever judgment they think they're going to stand before. Give an account for every word, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm in Jesus Christ and he's in me. And if Jesus is going to judge me as in punishment or detracting or taking something away from me, he'd have to take something away from himself first, because I'm in him and he's in me.
That's right.
And that is my reality. Forgiveness is my reality. All the things that say in Christ, in Jesus Christ, that is where we actually live, and that is reality for me. And I look at it that way every single day, and I'd just like you to maybe comment on that, Bob.
Well, Brad, I mean, you're spot on with your assessment there of what truth is. And truth is this, that Christ is our life. When he appears, we're going to appear with him. That's just reality. We've been raised with Christ. We're seated in the heavenlies with Christ. We're already there. We're already in him. If he ever judges us for our words, guess what words he would judge us for? The word.
His own.
That's right. The word that we have said that Jesus is Lord. So we're in the book of life, and he's going to open up that, and you're in. And you're like, yeah, I know. I've received you. And we just are going to experience eternal life and his eternal presence and be in his presence forever. So that's the good news. There's absolutely nothing to fear as far as believers are concerned. When Paul said death in Philippians chapter 1 is gain, he was exactly right. When we take our last breath, when we're absent from the body, we are present with the Lord, and that is gain for us. Our sins have been judged once and for all. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We have been set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from his love, and we're going to experience that eternally, and that is good news. Well, Brad, we appreciate your call. Thank you so much. That's an important question and an important truth that we all need to understand. Again, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. 844-322-2742 is the number. Let's go to our phone lines again and talk to Aaron, who's listening to us in Nacogdoches, Texas. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. How about you?
Doing great today. And my question is, when Paul wrote Timothy, in the second letter, Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God. I can understand that. He told him to stir up the gift of God, and you know, and what he did, I guess, by laying his hands on it. Well, I know that the gift didn't come from Paul; it came from God. But what does that mean? What do you think that Paul meant when he told Timothy to stir up the gift of God, and how do we as believers do that today? That's my question. Thank you.
Well, I think he's just saying, don't shrink back from what God's called you to. I think that's all he's saying there. That there is an important work that God wants to do in and through you. So don't shrink back. And certainly Timothy was a timid soul. He was young, and to take on some of the leadership roles that Paul had placed him in was intimidating to him, especially in light with some of the, quote, super apostles that were traveling around the countryside and going from place to place to place. They were polished. They were persuasive. They were all of those things. And I think when Timothy looked at those folks and compared those folks to himself, that fear kind of crept in. And Paul was saying, hey, God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a spirit of power, a sound mind, and self-control. So be what God has called you to be. Trust the Lord and allow him to do his work in you. So I think that's what Paul is talking about when he's saying, stir up this gift of God, stir up this ministry of reconciliation, this ministry of the new covenant, and be bold in proclaiming it.
So just stirring up the gifts would be just continue to trust the Spirit of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, that's right.
So,
okay, great. Thanks. I really appreciate that. That's what I was trying to
Well,
continue to trust the Christ that's in us.
That's exactly right. Don't let the conditions of the world, the external circumstances make you doubt or shrink back from what God has called you to do. and the work of the Spirit that he's doing in you. You know, when Paul said in Philippians that we're to work out this salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's what he's basically saying to Timothy, is work out what God has worked inside of you, and it's going to be a huge blessing to those people that you minister to.
Amen. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Okay, Aaron.
Have a great day.
Hey, thanks for your call. Great to hear from you always. Well, we have this question from Jeff, who's watching us on our Facebook feed today. He says, what does it mean that we have the mind of Christ? Well, that's what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it's a powerful, powerful chapter, and it talks about how we understand those things that God has freely given us. And he starts with a quote there, and I think this is an important quote for us to really grab hold of. It says this: what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. So these gifts of grace, this newness of life that we have in Jesus, this understanding of who God is as he's been revealed to us in Jesus Christ, we didn't discern that through our normal means. It wasn't through our eyes. It wasn't through our ears. It wasn't through what our minds have imagined. This has come to us by the Spirit, so it's been revealed to us. So we don't know these things, God. And it says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So we can have a group of people just sitting in a room together, and they're all kind of looking at their phones, and they could look at one another, and they don't have a clue what that other person is thinking. The only way they're going to know what that other person is thinking is if that other person reveals it to him. Tells what's going on inside that mind. And so in the same way, we don't know the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. So God wants us to know all about him. God wants us to know all about who we are in Christ. God wants us to know everything that there is about him and how we can experience this new life. And he wants us to know it so badly that he has given us his Spirit. And his Spirit reveals these things to us so that we can see with spiritual eyes, and we can hear with spiritual ears, and we can discern the reality of these spiritual truths. And it says, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. That's us. We're spiritual. So it says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So someone has to first be born again of the Spirit before they can understand the things of God. Now, the Spirit will bring that about as he brings the gospel message to us, and he reveals to us what God is like in the face of Jesus Christ. We respond by faith. We're born again. We receive the Spirit of God, and now we can discern these spiritual truths. So the spiritual person judges all things, but he himself but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? We have the Spirit of God that lives inside of us, who is going to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known to us. And then as we live out our lives, it is that mind that is going to shape our thinking, our choosing, our attitudes, and our actions in our life. So that's what it means to have the mind of Christ. We're able to discern those things that God has given to us in the person of Jesus Christ. We are able to live in dependence upon the Spirit and allow the fruit of his life to bear out in our day-to-day life. So, Jeff, thanks for the question. A very important question. We certainly appreciate that. This is Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. My name is Bob Christopher. As I said earlier in the program, we have a great resource for you. It's called The Basic Gospel. These are the essential truths that every Christian needs to know. It's the foundation of our faith. We want to put that in your hands. It's available for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. Go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button on our homepage. It's big and bright. So click that, follow the instructions, and be sure to request your copy of The Basic Gospel. We'll get it to you as quickly as we possibly can. We're going to go back to our phone lines, talk to David, who's listening to us in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, David.
Hello, how are you?
Doing fantastic. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm trying to convince family and others, family, friends, and others that this entire Day of the Dead celebration is unbiblical. And I was wondering if you can help point me to Scripture to help me out with this.
Well, David, you know, I think you're right on that. There's nothing in the Bible that tells us to celebrate it. It's become, you know, a holiday that people love to celebrate, and kids love to dress up and all of those sort of things. You know, I think when people kind of look at it and see it for what it is, they can say, well, of course this isn't of God. Of course this isn't something that God would mandate or something that God would condone to celebrate that. But here's something to think about. If you're living in a neighborhood, you're probably going to have a bunch of kids come knocking at the door unless you decide you're not going to be there that night. And that's certainly your prerogative. But if kids are going to come knocking at the door, maybe it's an opportunity for you to share the good news. Years ago, we used to have a little track that we would make available to people, and they would hand those out. And we used to get notes from parents and, you know, about their kids reading the track and receiving Christ. And we even got notes from parents saying, hey, I didn't know the gospel message. I knew a little bit about it, but that track really helped me understand. So it can be an opportunity for us as believers to turn something that's meant to celebrate the dark side. It could be a way to turn it into sharing the light of Jesus Christ with people. So you may want to think about it on those terms, but it's a good question, David. And you know, if it's not something that you want to be involved in, and take that stand. I think that's a good stand to take.
All right, thank you.
Okay, David, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Well, we've come to the end of another edition of Basic Gospel. Thank you for being here. We'll be back tomorrow with a teaching edition of Basic Gospel. We're going through my top 10 favorite passages in the Word of God. And boy, it was hard to reduce the list down to 10, but I've got 10. They've been meaningful to me in my life. God has used them to show me the goodness of His love, the goodness of His grace, the goodness of His forgiveness. These are the passages that have made a difference inside of me. And as I've shared them through the years, God has used them to make a difference in other people's lives as well. So be sure and tune in tomorrow for another teaching edition, the top 10 favorite passages. Well, again, thank you so much for being with us today. We'll look forward to that edition tomorrow. As a reminder, Basic Gospel is listener supported. We would love for you to partner with us in sharing the good news of God's love and grace. It's the most needed message on the planet, so you can make a difference by contributing today at basicgospel.net. We'll see you tomorrow.